Chapter 1. My name is Charity Deacon, and I'm a PI at my own agency, or half-agency since I'd made Matthew my partner. These days my life flowed from boring to dangerous. It was better than before when it just flowed from day to day. I became a private investigator when I got caught up in a case a few years ago. I'd seen something at an accident that the cops hadn't. Then, somehow, Val Wei had come knocking at my door the same day, begging me to help find her missing sister. One minute, I didn't know any teenage prostitutes. The next, I had one following me around to make sure I paid attention to her case. Before I knew it, I was deep in the world of gangs and people traffickers. I guess I'm lucky that my boyfriend, I hate that word, doesn't try to stop me from getting in too deep. Now, here I was sitting at my kitchen table, looking at a caseload of files and feeling pretty professional. Business was slow. It was a perfect time for Matthew and Lou to plan their wedding. So he'd taken a few days off. I wasn't worried. I could manage the outstanding cases. I loved calling it that. PIs took cases, not just jobs. And I had a bit of capacity to take on another small one if I wanted to. Or I could just enjoy the break. It's not like I hate the private investigation business. It's a great gig for a woman with a pushy personality. I just like taking breaks as much as making money. The problem right now was Jake. That boyfriend I mentioned? His acting career was taking off, but it always took him away. And because of the current cases, I couldn't hop on a plane to Australia and join him. I stacked the 6 current files on the dining table and decided to get productive. Sitting around was just making me antsy. The first file was an embezzlement case. If I'm going to be professional, I guess it's an alleged embezzlement. A page into the file and Matthew's notes changed my mind. Hidden assets and an expensive girlfriend. The target was guilty. All that I had to do was write up the report and send it with the final invoice. The next 2 files, both Matthew's, were on hold until the clients contacted us to do the background check. We did a fair amount of those for private colleges and hospitals. That left 3 of my own files. None of them were as organized as Matthew's, but I knew exactly what was going on. The warehouse. A few too many items falling off the back of a truck. I'd take pictures tonight, like I had 3 nights in a row. Eventually, either I'd find evidence, or the client would close the case because I couldn't find any. The estate file. I had to track down a missing heir, something I could do online and in my PJs. The final one was the most interesting. Sarah Lyman, missing wife. The cops had written her off as a runaway. She wasn't a kid and wasn't in a high-risk position to be murdered. People ran away all the time. I'd followed the money trail for a couple of days, and then the clues stopped. I needed to find another track. I was pretty sure there was more to it than a bad marriage. Maybe I could talk to her co-workers. I had that information scribbled on a scrap of notepaper. So far from having a heavy caseload, I had a few hours' effort to close the cases. If I worked at it, I might be able to take a couple of days off. I signed on to a few databases to put in some queries on the wife and the heir, turned on the coffee maker, and settled in for the afternoon. Then someone knocked on my door. It's not that easy to get to my door. I live in a floating home in Vancouver's Cole Harbour. Our little community of 5 floating homes was kept behind a security gate. Since I hadn't let anyone in through the gate, it could only be one of my neighbors. Or Val, who never seemed to need a key or to be buzzed in. I opened the door, hoping it wasn't Dolores, the self-appointed neighborhood watch. It was Ian. He lived in the last house on the finger dock, next to Jake. He'd been there about 6 months. All I knew about him was that he had a friendly chocolate lab named Mickey and worked in some high-tech conglomerate. He looked the part, a little bit taller than me, but I'm tall for a woman at 5 feet 8 inches. A runner's body, but I'd never seen him head off or return from a run. He'd be hard to pick out in the crowd because he's average. Brown hair, brown eyes, wears the not quite executive look, dark gray slacks, white shirt, and a dark blue tie. I guess that he must be on a coffee break, or he goes in late to work. "Hey, Charity," he said. Then nothing. He'd obviously knocked for a reason, and now I was going to have to get it out of him. "Ian, is there something I can help you with?" Not original, but a gal has to keep things moving. "Dolores said you might help me." He looked over my shoulder into my house, and I knew it would be faster if I invited him in so he could feel comfortable. Thankful that I hadn't changed into my PJs yet, I opened the door wider. "I have a few minutes, why don't you come inside?" He took one of the armchairs in my living room. Okay, I call it the living room, but it's more like a living area. Two chairs and a small couch set around a coffee table. No room for anything else. I waited a few minutes while Ian looked around him. I'd been in his house. It was smaller than mine, so he couldn't be feeling cramped. He was going to be one of those clients. Some people know they need your help, but they are embarrassed or feeling guilty, so they don't like to come out and state the fact. "Dolores thinks you need my help?" I prompted. But he just nodded. "I'm a private investigator, so you must need something investigated?" He sighed, then straightened from his slouch and started to talk. "Mickey has been kidnapped. Dognapped. He shook his head when I started to say I wasn't that kind of PI. "I know it's not a big case, but he's important to me. I need him back, and I don't know what to do."